We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
So I'm going to share with you a little bit. I mean, this is our second trip to this particular area, and a few of us had been before, but some of us, it was the second time for us to go, but it was so very different than the first time. You often think you know what to expect, and God's like, no, you don't either. There's a little bit different. God showed us a lot of wonderful things. We got to connect to a lot of wonderful people. Some of them we remember, and some of them from a few years ago, and then some of them were, of course, brand new folks. I want to highlight just for a moment the Zimmer family and tell you a little bit about them. This is Gerald and Kristen and their kids. They have been married for over 25 years, have four children. And she actually said they added a fifth because Michael got married. And just a few months ago, Michael married this sweet lady that you see there in the picture, the blonde-haired lady, and her name is Alina. And so there's Michael, Karina, who is who's been here. Both of them have been around for a while. Michael and Karina were here for a while at Word of Life and came to church here, and are just back. They're serving the Lord in their own respective areas. Zachary and Brianna, and these are the fine folks too that are our missionaries in Romania that we got to spend some time with. That God just knit our hearts together. Both Gerald and Christian were saved at a young age. They went to the Word of Life Bible Institute and graduated from Bible College. In 1993, they were accepted as Word of Life missionaries to Romania, and they served with them for 2 years before joining their current organization, which is Titus International. We were introduced to them, to this family, through Barry Van Wetchel, and the Van Wetchels have known them. Went to Word of Life together, right? That's how you got connected. And he's known them for some time. He's been on several trips, Barry has, over there, but was unable to come with us on this trip. Barry, so it was like 2014. I was looking back at the dates, and one of the guys that came with him played an accordion in the old building. I don't know if you remember this. I'm going to show you his picture in a little bit. Maybe you'll remember him. If the accordion doesn't ring a bell, though, chances are his picture might not. But if you were here back in 2014, we were first introduced to them. And since we were introduced to them, this is now a second missionary trip that we've been able to take. We were able to help getting an overseas container over there. Barry was very instrumental in that as well, storing a lot of things at his shop and sending clothes. We sent a lot of supplies. I'm going to show you some pictures of that here in just a little bit, or at least one aspect of it. And we've had VBS offerings for him. As I told him, I said, you know, we've done more for you in 4 years than we have anybody else. And he said, keep it up. And so, God has just knit our hearts, and we're so thankful that we were able to partner with them. Our team went to the airport. Here's our missions team at the airport, ready to go. We finally all arrived, and we're ready to leave. And we traveled over 5,000 miles, three different airplanes, 15 hours in the airplane. I didn't think we were ever getting off that airplane. You know, watched two movies, read a book, ate lunch, had dinner, took a nap, and we still weren't there. Still flying. We were so thankful, though, to finally arrive. And once we arrived, we were able to minister in multiple places. We ministered in a place called Sinest that you can see on the screen. Once we arrived there, at Fundula and arrived at the place that we were at. And finally, the next picture, we see that we ministered there in a place called Sinest, which is a local village church that you can see. I know a couple folks who were on the trip before may recognize this place where they meet in and have their studies. Fundula is another place we ministered in, and you can see some of the pictures that were here of a group that was singing there. Florica is another place that we were ministering to. Valley Argave, who's not pictured. And then also the Goldilocks there. I didn't realize that. And then we also went to Camp Eli. Camp Eli is where we ministered to. So we had multiple villages that we were at. All of us are wearing Camp Eli shirts, which are actually from Romania, that you'll see the team wearing here in just a little bit. And each summer, They host over 800 people that come to this camp through different people that they rent the camp out to, and through all of the orphans and the village churches and the different community camps that come into this area. Some 800 people every summer go through this camp, and we were privileged to be able to partner with them and to come alongside them. And for this camp, that we had several kids from their village churches and gypsy villages that were able to come to this camp, and these were the people that we got to be alongside and got to love this week. One of the first things I noticed when we first got to the camp, when we first arrived, and I was very curious to see, was the gym floor that has made it all the way to Romania. And those of you that don't know why they're clapping, is that this floor was here when we first arrived at this property, and you may not recognize it, but as a matter of fact, I have a throwback picture for you here. This is the picture of what is the kids' classes and the choir room and all of this over here. When we arrived, that's what the other half of this building looked like. And we were able to collect that floor. Again, Barry's so instrumental, helping again, storing that. We cleaned it a couple of times and got over there, and they have installed it. And it just, we got to the camp, and I'm like, where's the gym? I want to see the gym and see the goals, and got several pictures there. But this was something that we were able to transport all the way there, and we're so thankful that they're able to use it, and it's been a great blessing and an asset to them. Once we were there, we had camp. We were able to do crafts. We got a couple pictures of them out there in a little lanai porch area, two different pics of that, and we had some games that we're doing at camp. You got to have games with camp. Bryson and Ike were so instrumental in pulling this off, and different games and activities and madness that camp often is. There's lots of different wonderful times. And there's cabin time, where you're able to get to know the kids. And here's a lovely picture of some folks dressed up. So some cabin folks, and we just lost. Like VBS, you just lose yourself. You just show up, and you minister, and you love on people, and you get a chance to do that. Nathan always had a group of kids around him continually there. We had rallies that were there in the evening, and there were songs and icebreakers and silliness and Bible teaching. Several pictures here, Lisa Wiley teaching the story as a woman at the well. You might not be able to make it out in the picture, but she dressed up and got into character. We had several special guests that arrived at camp. Moses was there and others that had arrived. Gloria taught one of the days, and she had the attention of everybody there. Everybody there was just glued in on the lesson, and God used her in a great way along with so many. After camp concluded, we were able to minister again in some village churches. Nathan preached there in Fundula. There were we taught some children's classes and reconnected with some kids at camp from Valley Argave. We were able to get a chance to get to see them again after spending a week with them. And there are a lot of things we could share about what we experienced, but as you're going to hear in a little bit, the trip really wasn't about us. It's not really about what we have. The story is about the Zimmer family. More importantly, the story is about God, what God's doing through the Zimmer family, and the work they have carved out for Christ, and the village churches that have been established, the camp that is thriving. They've been so faithful, and God continues to do just amazing things through their ministry. And there's such a joy to watch. We were having a meeting here earlier, and we just said we enjoyed just watching them, because you could see the love in their eyes, and you could see the tenderness in which they introduced people and how they loved people. And it was just a precious, precious thing. You ever enjoyed just watching somebody? Like, you just enjoy watching. They just have such a joy about them. This is really the heartbeat of this dear couple and their family. It transcends that. And there's such a joy in watching the people that serve with them. And I'm going to introduce you to a couple of them. This is Pastor Lucci. Pastor Lucci and his family, they really help oversee two different village churches in Valley Argove and Florica. There was a pastor that was helping oversee the one church in Florica, and he fell off of a roof a few years ago now, and had all kinds of brain trauma, and he had every intention of going back into the pastorate, but they don't think that he's going to make it as far as being able to go and pastor. And so Pastor Lucci has been pastoring these two different churches. He pastors this church, Valley Argove, in the morning, and then in the afternoon heads to this church. And this man loves Jesus. He's faithful. I don't know if you're going to get to meet him in person. I don't know if he'll ever make his way over here. But I want to know, as Paul said, as he talked about different people in the scriptures, he said, salute them in Jesus Christ. Tell them we're behind them. Tell them we're praying for him. Tell them that we're sending them support and that we want to make sure that they are faithful in church. I want you to pray for this church in Valley Argove. They're attempting to build a church, but they've hit some opposition. This is a church of Valley Argove that they were building a church. They were meeting in a makeshift area, and they put this foundation in, started to build, and the mayor and some folks there in the neighborhood have just launched attacks on them and it made it very difficult for them. Not really attacks, that's too strong of a word, but they have just put roadblock after roadblock and are preventing them from building this building, and it sat like this for almost a year. And they just can't get the right paperwork in order to get this building built. And I hope you'll make this a matter of prayer, that they can punch that through. I told them, next time I'm here, we're going to worship in that building. It was behind me as I was preaching. I'm like, we're going to worship right there. And everybody was just so elated and happy and excited to know how God's going to come through. We know he is, but they're making them go through lots of hoops to work through. Pastor Florine, who is lovingly, affectionately called Chica. I don't know where that name came from. I kept meaning to ask, but I don't know. But we call him, his name's Chica. He and his family faithfully serve the main location there in Fundula. And he's the co-pastor there with Gerald. They have four kids and one on the way. And I'll tell you, the real story is not him, it's his wife. His wife is a Trojan, but she is ready. She was. This is her fifth child, and she's walking up those mountains like nothing, you know. And we're tired, and here she comes, just plodding up the road. She's due next month, right? She's due next month. So I told Chica, I said, you married up. He says, I know. You know. Introduce you here to Adi and Nikki. This is what a dear man of God this is. He and his wife, and they have two kids. He was the one that came a few years ago and played the accordion, and a very talented man, but greater than any of that, I can just tell you that he loves Jesus. He loves Jesus. He's so passionately in love with Christ and so very very tender towards the things of God. And God has just partnered him with Gerald, and they are doing just a phenomenal work in so many areas. He's a talented, faithful brother. I asked him how many instruments he played. He said, I lost count at 10. I quit. I said, yeah, I don't count past 10 either. He plays so many instruments. He's like, It's amazing. A very talented person. And then there's another family, Manuel and his family. They call him Manu, and he's actually a cousin of Adi that is there, and he's partnering with them. Adi's cousin and faithful servant there, and he helps out extensively at the main church plant as the children's director, and he also helps Pastor Lucci, who is, again, pastoring these two different village churches, a gypsy church, and then also pastoring out there in Florica. And all of these folks are people that are just doing a phenomenal work for God. And some of them you may never get to meet, but they're pioneers for Jesus Christ. And they are in love with Christ, and they're reaching people and very evangelistic. And we're so excited about what God is doing there, and that we were able to partner alongside these beautiful people, these wonderful folks. And we want to tell you some of the stories that transpired while we were serving there. And but before we did, we wanted to introduce you to some of those pastors and tell you some of those stories and tell you Gerald's story and tell you how God is using them and the people that are being reached. And it's an amazing, amazing thing. At this time, I would like to ask our missions team to come to the platform. Now, they're going to come up and join me. As they do, one of the team members is not with us. It's Mr. Nathan Adams, who is sleeping in. No, he's not. Actually, just went back to Chicago to resume his schooling, and so he left on Friday and was not able to be here with us. I want you to turn to Psalm 96 for me really quickly, if you would. Before I left, we read out of Psalm 96, and this was one of the charges that we gave, one of the declarations that we wanted to go with. And I'm just going to read a couple of verses, and then we're going to get a chance to hear from our team here in just a moment. But Psalm chapter 96, verse number 2. Says, sing unto the Lord and bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen and his wonders among all people. You know, we had the glorious opportunity of going into another country, into several different airports, and witnessing and having a chance to be able to declare the name of Jesus Christ. And as we're back here now, we get a chance to declare to you what God is doing and how God's changed our life and how God is working in the lives of others. And so one at a time, different teammates are going to come up and share a little bit, and you're going to get to hear firsthand of what all has happened and transpired in our life. And so right off the bat, we have Miss Shauna, who is going to make her way up here. Shauna is the only one who has braved all missions trips that we've done here at Faith with me. And she comes each time as a faithful, just a sweetheart of a lady. She does so much by way of Vacation Bible School, by the way, and just is a huge help to me and this church. And I didn't plan on doing all that, but you know, she is just a great source of strength for me and has been just such an encouragement. She's always taking pictures. She comes back, usually her hand looks like this, and she's holding a camera, but it's not so bad here this time. No. And Shauna, why don't you tell us some of the takeaways you had?
Well, first of all, I would like to thank the church for sending me and my family and my team, the people that donated money and supported us in prayer. It was an amazing trip, obviously, but grateful that I got to go back and that I got to take my husband and my daughter, who is going to be 17 in a couple of days, so it was quite a life-changing trip for her. One of the things that impacted me the most was seeing how the culture in Romania is so focused on people as opposed to things and acquiring things. And everything that they had, they used to pour into people. Gerald took us on a walk one day. I was at the end of the week. It was not a little walk. I said, oh, we're just going to go for a little walk. It was a very long walk. but I said to the Lord, I'm going to say yes to whatever the opportunity is. Where the last time I went, I was afraid of a lot of things. And I was like, I don't know if I can do that or this. But I said, yes, I'll go on the walk. So I was so glad that I did, because we walked through the neighborhood. And it seemed like each time we turned down a different street, someone would stop. They'd be driving by. They'd stop. Oh, Gerald, you know, and they'd have this conversation and all this joy at just seeing him. And he took us around to people in his immediate mile radius neighborhood and showed us this is the first woman who came and was saved and came to the church. And, you know, after so many invitations, then this one came, and her family, and you know, and he pointed, you know, to just some different people, and then he said in English, he said, and, you know, that one over there, he's next, but he doesn't know yet, and you know, they didn't know what he was saying, but I was so touched, and I want to just implore you to realize that you need to pour yourselves into people as much as you can. However you can, whenever you're given an opportunity, no matter how small that is, how small the time, or how small the thing, use what you have and give love to people with it.
Amen. You know, Miss Brenda's has a long history with the Zimmer family and was thankful that she could go back yet again. She brought all kinds of treats, and she had a suitcase full of lots of giveaways and things that she wanted to give away, and we were steady giving. The kids were just elated. There were some kids that came that didn't have any clothes except what they were wearing, and the only thing that they had to give was some clothes that she had brought, pulled it right out of a suitcase, and put it right on those kids, and it was such a blessing. But here, I'll give you a moment to share what God has on your heart.
The memory that I have many memories, but Gerald asked us all to go into a cabin in the evening before the kids went to bed. And Mary and I were in this cabin of teenage girls. There were five girls and the leader. And we had given our testimony on Monday and Tuesday, and then we asked them to give their testimony. And there were some of the girls that couldn't say that they were saved. And Friday, we gave an invitation, and one of the girls asked if she could accept Christ into her heart. Her name is Andrea. And pray for Andrea, because she comes from a home that doesn't support Christianity at all. And she wants to live for God, but she doesn't know if that's going to be possible when she gets home. But I also want to thank you all for your prayer support and financial support. You maybe didn't get to come physically with us, but when through prayers and through the finances, you made it possible for us to come. So you have a vital Amen. Part of that also. And I don't know, I could go on and on, but yeah. We only have 2 minutes, so I think my time is up.
That's all right. Thank you. You know, it is, there are so hard to kind of narrow it down for a little bit. Bryson's going to make his way up here now, and God did so many wonderful things. It's hard to narrow it down in just a couple minutes, but I want you to get the heartbeat of some of the things that happened over there. Bryson?
All right. So first and foremost, I'd like to thank all you guys that supported us in prayer and financially. I know myself would not have been able to go without the financial support, but also the Zeemers, they represent Christ well. So we're supporting a missionary that really represents Christ well. During the trip, Shauna kind of touched on it a little bit, but during the trip, there was two things that God had kind of challenged me with. The one was anytime you're with Gerald or his family, they have time to talk to anybody. It doesn't matter. I'd imagine if he's in the middle of the interstate, if he sees somebody, he'll probably park his car right in the middle of the interstate and get out and sit with the person and talk to him. So he had time for everybody. It didn't matter who it was. He had time for everybody, knew their names, and looked at them in the eye. So that was a challenge to me. Just most of the time when I speak to people, I'm quick to say hi and bye, basically. So that was a challenge. The other challenge was I was talking to a kid, 15 years old, and was telling him that I'd like to bring my family back to meet them and also to go back and help out there at the camp again. And just kind of joking around with him, and he was really receptive to us coming back as a group, but just kind of joking around with him, I just said, hey, don't try and date my daughter. And his response to that was, I don't have time in my life to do something like that. My number one thing has to be to get my relationship with Christ first. And that was a real challenge as well.
Yeah, we were sharing earlier that we weren't there at 15, many of us, and then we also know that many of us aren't there as adults even now to come to that point. Crystal, she had quite the experience, and God did a wonderful thing in her life, and so many things to share. But why don't you share just a moment what God did in your heart and life?
First, let me say thank you again to the church. I know we keep saying thank you, but we really are so grateful that we got the opportunity to go. One of the things that Brenda mentioned is that we had a chance to go up to the cabins and speak to the girls. And I had a group of gypsy girls. And so only one of them was saved. And the first night we went around and I asked them for what they wanted me to pray for them. And this one girl said to me, I just want my family to be saved. She is saved, but she can't live the life. She can't even profess Christ in her regular daily life because family means everything to them. And when they say that they're Christian, the family just, you know, they don't belong to the family anymore. They will be removed from the family. So, and I know what she's kind of feeling because I don't have any family here except my church family. My family does not accept me for who I am. But I can make that choice. I'm an adult, but she's a little girl, 11 years old. And for her to just be praying for her family to come to Christ because she wants to continue to come to church and she can't. That would just touch me. It's, you know, just to be there at 11 years old. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Crystal. You know, we had different people from all walks of life and experience. And, you know, it wasn't all that long ago, Miss Oni's making her way, that she was getting baptized right on this platform, not all that long ago. And then now here she was on the trip. And I was just so encouraged by the fact she came. You didn't want to. At first, you're like, "I'm not coming." I'm like, "Yes, you are too, but you're coming." And she came, and God, just as He always does when you give yourself to the Lord, does a phenomenal work in your life. And so I'm going to let you just take a moment and share tonight, if you would.
Once again, like everybody else, I'm going to say thank you for your love and your support for us to go halfway around the world. What really, one of my main takeaways was there was a young lady, and when I say young lady, I mean early 30s, who had the mindset of a child, who came to Camp Eli and spent the entire week and had nothing but a smile on her face. She did everything. We went to the mall in Bucharest, and she went with us, and she grabbed me by the arm, and she wanted to show me the type of material that she uses at her job to manufacture curtains. And just the kids, the smiles they have, the love they have for everybody. And like Pastor Micah was saying this morning, the one little boy opened up his big box of candy and was running to everybody and giving them a piece of candy. I don't know what else I could have really, other than, you know, God softening my heart more and making me open my eyes and just see the difference in the cultures.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Proud of you. You did good. Proud of you. Now, we have Miss Gloria is coming right up. She was the teenager traveling with us old people, right? She is coming along. So, Miss Gloria, I will give you the mic. Go ahead.
Okay, so the first thing that they taught us when we got there, when we all went to church, was when you meet people, you say pace, which means peace. Say it with me. Pace.
Pace.
Okay, so that's, like, it was cool to just kind of dive into their culture and, like, be able to greet them. For me, my mom went on this mission trip before, and when she came back, you know, she was telling us about all these people and, you know, showing us all these pictures, and they were just like people in a picture. And now that I've been there, all of a sudden, they're not just people in a picture. They are people that I have met, and they've impacted my life. And some of those people were the teenagers. They were the leaders of each cabin. They were teenagers, and obviously I'm a teenager, so I got to talk with them a lot, and I just connected with them. And something, it was really cool to me that even halfway around the world, teenagers are teenagers, you know, we all have stuff in common. And it was just so cool to me to see that even in their, like, knowing their backgrounds, to see how much they love God and that they would sacrifice a week to come and, like, be there with those children. And they just, they don't have a lot there, but everything that they do have, they give to other people. And it made me realize, like, all the stupid stuff that I care about here and all the stupid stuff that I cling to, and that you don't, you know, need any of that. And they went on a mission right where they were, like, in their neighborhood. They just went to camp, they ministered to those kids, and it just kind of made me realize, like, I mean, of course I'm thankful that I got to go on this trip, it was amazing, but you don't need to go halfway around the world to minister to people. Like, you need to minister to the people that are right here in your community.
Yeah. That's good.
Thank you.
Amen. Yeah. Well, she made a mess all week, just like that. Mr. Ike. Ike was so instrumental in helping with the games. Now when we were over there, now Brother Gerald, right on the fly, had a nickname for you. So why don't you tell us about that there?
Okay, during the first lesson period that we had, Gerald introduced me to all the kids in the auditorium there, and he said, "This is Pekutul," and he looked back at me and said, "Don't worry, that just means tiny." So, I mean, the kids were all cracking up. So all week, and I think, I hadn't planned to talk about this, but all week, the kids were coming up to me every time I walk around the corner, "Mikutu, Mikutu." And, you know, I was really worried about when I went over there. I'm not a big people person. People tell me that, "Oh, you're very approachable." And I'm like, "Oh, you're crazy." But just the fact that he did that made it a lot easier for me to relate to the kids, to get to know them. They would always save me a seat during lunch and, you know, yell at me and were fighting over me at different tables. Hey, come sit with it, you know. But along that same line, there was a lot of people there, and one in particular, Adi, that they really affected me. You know, I got to sit and talk with him. Sean and I had a long conversation with him about his work over the last 20 years, his dedication, some of the stuff that he told us that he's done. He told us about a mission trip to Moldova that he took his teenagers on, and they slept in tents on the ground, and he slept in the car that they drove over there. And he does their music ministry. He writes a lot of the music for them. He goes every Sunday after church. He goes to a town somewhere close by and does street evangelism. And I thought, wow, what am I supposed to do with this? I can't compare myself to this guy. And then I thought, well, I don't really have to. You know, God calls me to do something. He called Adi to do something. And, you know, I can use him as an example for the future. But part of that is to say that, you know, I went over there with really no expectation of what was going to happen, because every time you go somewhere that God calls you, it's never like you think it's going to be. But I met all these people, these wonderful people, the teenagers, the kids, and I thought, you know, I'm making friends here, I'm forming these bonds with people that I want to be friends with, and it's, you know, the next time I see them is probably going to be at least 3 years from now. And that's if we get to go again. But God showed me that even though I'm not going to be with them, I can be with them. I can pray for them. I can try to help to do the evangelism that he's doing over there, over here. I can work with teenagers here like he does over there. And I've been told many times that that's what I'm supposed to do. So... sorry, Chad.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Now, how long? He went to the same city for how long?
He went
long?
To the same city. Now, he went to one city for 10 years. No salvations. His father had been going to that city for 15 years before that. No salvations.
He's just so burdened.
And he told us, he's like, you know, that's one of the things that it just breaks my heart. He said, if I continue to do this work and I get to see no results for it. I mean, he's like, I just want these people to take Christ. He said, I can't help it. I've got to go and tell them about Christ, and I can't do anything else about it. And then he's been going. He said after 10 years, he was like, okay, that's enough. I got to go somewhere else. And he's been going to another city for the last 5 years, one salvation. And he's still going every week. He said 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock after church. There's so many stories that it's just, but I was like, I think I want to take this guy home with me.
Yeah. Adi's one of those guys. And, anyway. Well, thank you for sharing. You know, Adi is one of those guys that I told you about earlier that played all those instruments. I showed you his picture. This is him, who is not resting on what he's done. He's still ever pressing forward to what God has for him. So Miss Mary, I told you we had somebody who was just recently baptized, and then Miss Mary's a brand new church member. She's got we got acquainted. You know what she gave me just a moment ago? Her husband just gifted me with a bag of Doritos. My very own Doritos. So. I'll be eating those tonight. Actually, I thought about passing them around and letting everybody have one beforehand. So, Miss Mary.
Oh, and I want to thank you, too, for your prayers. And I just felt so privileged to go on this trip. But one of the things that really struck me was the Zimmer family, their love, their compassion, their tenderness, their kids. It isn't just the parents, it's in the kids. You can just see it in everything they do and say. And one example is there was this 83-year-old Romanian lady that lived in a trailer with no electricity for several months. And Kristen and Gerald pulled their camper between the church and their house, and they've got her set up back there. And she is so proud of that place. She has a little garden and she crochets, and she is just so happy, and they take care of her. They don't have a, she doesn't have a family. So I was just so touched by that. So I just am very thankful that I got to go on this trip.
Amen. We're so glad you came. Next, we have Becca, who came one other time. She was with us on one of the, I think there's four of us who had been before. And Becca has been before, and she's the one that coined this phrase, was working, and we went back and nothing was the same. She's like, literally the building, that was all that was the same. Everything else was completely different. But
Gerald and Kristen were there,
yeah. So tell us a little bit.
Well, this is my second time going, and thanks for stealing my first line. Going this time, from the very beginning, I knew God had a plan for this trip for me. I didn't know what it was. I didn't want to take someone else's spot to go that if they're supposed to go because I've been before. But from the very beginning, it was very clear that this was for me to go. So being there, I could tell you story and story and story and story, and I would be happy to, but I'm only allowed to do one for tonight. So I will talk about the last Sunday we were there, and all week long I've been doing this. I'm like, this time last week I was doing this, and this time last week I was doing this, and this morning I woke up, and this time last week I was teaching at Valley Argaway to the kids there. Shock, surprise, I was teaching with the kids because I do that here. And it was just incredible to, I didn't get to teach at camp. I was doing crafts and all of that stuff. So to be there and look them in the eyes, talk one-on-one with them, and to tell the story of David and how he was a boy. And anyway, you know the story of David. But they were so receptive and listening to every word, and their hearts were just ready and prepared. And this very tall lady talking to them, and they were just listening, and we colored pictures, and I brought a backpack full of stuff. I was ready to go. I had toys, and I had games, and I had candy, and I had, just like I would be ready to walk into the classroom here, and I was like ready to go, and I was ready to pull out the next thing, and the guy that was interpreting for me was like, slow down, they're still coloring, like they're still working, like just wait a minute, like, well, okay. So I'm like, I have something else. And they were just taking in everything that we were there to give to them. And so this morning when I woke up, I Facebooked one of the guys that was interpreting for me, and I'm like, how'd it go today? Because I left my lesson and everything with him with all the pictures. He goes, I reviewed it today, and they were answering the questions, and they're so thankful that you came, and they just couldn't stop talking about you guys and being there. So that was great and wonderful and a precious memory, but we can do that here. We have kids here that need to hear the gospel and to be poured into. And I'm grateful I get to do it there, but also here as well.
Yeah, amen. Well, it's time for the fathead, right? Remember that? Inside joke, not untold your story. I fully thought
more will be revealed.
More will be revealed later. So a little little joke, you'll... Don't worry about it. I didn't say that. Her name's actually Lisa, by the way.
So, thank you. Appreciate that. I'm going to call you Mr. Dorito.
There you go.
What a blessing and a gift. I'm blown away still. And I know, the thing that really impacted me was Kristen Zimmer. Her dedication, her love, her selflessness, and somehow or other, I think she had ever-ready bunny batteries in her because she kept going and going, and always truly happy, and the love she had for everyone around her was amazing. And if a situation happened, like maybe something didn't go exactly right, which does happen when you're over there like that, it didn't matter. We just kind of, she went on with whatever. And just an amazing, amazing woman. You know, I'm very grateful for everybody that helped get me and the team there. It really is special to be able to go and represent our church by going and doing that work, because it is work. It's a blessing and a gift, and I know that I'll be going back, definitely.
Amen.
So y'all need to come. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Miss Lisa. We had with us a resident medical doc. This is Doc Jim Plants, and he took care of all our aches and pains, and there were a few of them, and so he had some just a great blessing to us. But greater than that is what God did in his heart through the ministry there. And so, Doc, you share with us.
Absolutely. Really appreciate the fact that even though I went over 13 other people, I felt like I had half the church with me with the financial support. When we'd get a little internet or a little cell tower, I'd send a little Facebook something, and people were just answering back, and more, send us some more pictures. What are you doing today? So it was really a blessing that I didn't feel like I was in this alone. And I'd like to talk about the cabin time. That was pretty special. We, as others have alluded to, we went up nightly about 10:45. Our nights were not early nights. Before the kids went to bed, and we were to go over the lessons that we had accomplished. And so Monday and Tuesday, I did that, you know, got acquainted and went over what the lesson was. And they would, Zach, one of the Zimmers, would translate for me. And I mean, they got it. They got it to, they nailed it. You know, they had the right answers. They knew exactly what was going on. And that was a pretty blessing. And then I would close up during those first two nights just praying for them, you know, if they had something they wanted prayed for and pray over them. The third night, I changed it up a little bit. We went through the lessons and spoke about what the lesson was, what the topic was. And then I asked them to, each one of them, to talk about something that they needed prayer for and then pray for something, whatever was on their heart. And let me tell you, not understanding Romanian, it really didn't matter. Because those young men, you could tell the heartfelt sincereness in their voice. And it was not just a one or two word, thank you, Lord, for the day or something. Each one of them had a very intense and a heartfelt prayer. And that included the two teen leaders. It was hard to realize that the teens that were the leaders were just teens themselves. And some of those boys weren't saved, yet every one of them prayed, and they prayed very fervently and heartfeltly. And it was a blessing to see that it doesn't matter where you go or the people that you meet or what language they are. You know, when the love of Christ gets you, it gets you, and it translates across language.
Amen. Yep. Amen, Doc. Thank you for that. Well, I tell you, we got Ralph is the last one that's going to be making his way up here. You know, what we did over there is the Vacation Bible School. If you can imagine, those of you that were part of Vacation Bible School that lasted 2 hours every evening, just imagine that being 14 hours. That's what it was, that kind of high impact, high energy that was there. And so Ralph did a great job teaching and was involved in several aspects of the ministry. And so why don't you share just for a moment what God did in your life, and we'll hear what God did through you.
Well, thank you everybody for praying. Wow, so much to say, so little time, but really quick. 19 months ago, Ms. Becca Wallace told me that a Romanian mission trip will be good for me. I looked at her and I'm like, "Huh, you're funny." And last year, June 4th, Pastor Denver Ayers was preaching that when we get to heaven, there's one thing that Christians can do: share your faith. And I'm like, wow. And I was ready. And at work, I hurt my back. And so much stuff that happened that Satan did not want me to go. And before I left, I got sick. I was in the bathroom a lot. And there's three ladies that I know that would pray for me, like Ms. Pat Morris, Ms. Marjorie Adams, Callie Elizabeth Ayers. And all the ladies, they mothered me. They treated me real good. They gave me all the drugs they had. And it's true. And praise the Lord. Yeah. I mean, I was really sick. And Ms. Shauna, she was like, How much have you taken? I don't know, but I trust them. And I was cured. I was cured. And Pastor Micah, he has a lot of a lot of meetings, and praise the Lord for him. He's a great leader, and praise the Lord for his meeting. He asked us, which of the men want to preach, and I'm like, me. And I did it, and what's his name? Michael Zimmer, the son, he translated, and just to see how his affection with the people, because we went to the market and recognized people from church, and people that, most of them, the members sell produce, they sell fresh fish, fresh meat. He didn't care. He hugged them. He hugged them, and I'm like, wow, what a testimony. He wasn't engrossed or anything. He's like, are you brave? I'm like, yeah, of course. It's me. I'm like, so I went, and he told me the message that I preached. He was like, you open up their eyes. And then Pastor Micah, he gave me the opportunity to open up Monday. And I explained, you know, that everybody's born, but all of us are going to die. And after this, there's eternity, either hell or heaven. And eternity is forever. And the kids, they were like, throughout that week, they were like, whoa. And then Sunday was the last day of the week. We had two sermons in the morning, and the last one, Pastor Micah gave me the opportunity to preach, and I did it again. Yes, I made a few errors, mispronounced a few words, but Pastor Zimmer translated excellent hallelujah, no, seriously, you have no idea what I said, what it sounded like, but it wasn't, yeah. Well, anyway, to the point, Pastor Lucci asked one of the teenagers, what did they learn throughout the week? And it's just glory to the Lord. 6 days later, there was this one little girl, Enolia. She's just like Gloria. She's like 14. She's like...
she's 17, but that's all right.
Oh,
all
right, yeah. Sorry.
They remembered the lesson, though, didn't they? They remembered the lesson. I mean, and it really,
she's like, what really impacted me is like, this life is so short. A 14-year-old girl, she got it. It's like eternity. And I'm like, wow. And Pastor Lucci sent me a message a few days ago, like, because I was preaching and I focused so much about eternity. And I explained, because I started in Acts, then I went to the Old Testament, Genesis, you know, and I said, I went back and forth because try to explain that that's the Lord's plan. You know, his word is eternal. And Pastor Lucci told me that after I left, a lot of people have come up to him because they were stuck by the word eternity that they didn't think about. I'm talking about, I don't know, over 50, but around that age. But I'm like, hallelujah. You know, if the Lord gives you a blessing, do it. My blessing, I talk a lot and I have a big mouth. What a great way to use your blessing by sharing Christ.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. Okay. All right. I'm going to have you guys go ahead and have a seat. Our missions team. Can we give them a hand? We appreciate them, all they did. You know, one of the greatest things you can do is give some time. Give the Lord some time and give him a week of your life in whatever capacity, whatever that may look like. For each of us, it's different. For these folks, they went on a trip and God has changed them. And so I'm going to be meeting with each of them because we don't want what happened here on this mission trip to just be a means to an end of how are we going to take what we've learned and allow it to propel us forward.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.